garbage.
Blog Talk Radio.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest.
And no, everybody.
Don't you cry no more.
Yeah.
Block Talk Radio. How you doing tonight? And tonight's Missing Spiritual Roundtable Tuesday, where we're talking about Atlantis. This is Atlantis Tuesday, we might as well say. Let's talk about Atlantis. That's what we're going to do tonight. And so, therefore, you want to call in and ask some questions about Atlantis and that kind of stuff. And maybe we even throw a couple of things in here about doing some past life readings too, as well. And also, for the tenth caller who calls in, you will win a 60-minute reading. So join us for the fun and a show, and if you have any comments that you want to bring to the show yourself about Atlantis and how you feel about the whole thing, it would be great. You're more than welcome to do so. And we have some people on the line I see here. So that's going pretty good as well. And we're also, right now, we're actually live on Ustream and also on, if I'm not mistaken, Blog TV. And so check us out on Blog TV, Psychic X Journeyman. Also on Ustream, we're also the same name, Psychic X Journeyman. So check it out, or else you can go to my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com, and go to the page where it says radio on Ustream. You'll see a screen there. All you have to do is click on it, and we'll be live. And you can watch this, and you can also just keep it up with us and everybody else. It's you also in the chat room as well. Anybody in the chat room who has a question, or anybody want to answer a card for the day, or have some kind of questions about past lives or Atlantis kind of stuff, please let us know in the chat room. We're talking periodically back and forth, so we'll definitely keep an eye out and that kind of thing. So let's go and check out some people and this kind of thing. You know, Atlantis is a very controversial subject. Also, a lot of people are looking at the situation in a different way now, of looking at things and seeing things clearly and having their own opinions about this and the other. We've had so many people who said they've seen found Atlantis. My subject on the whole situation is maybe they've all found Atlantis, and the ideal of being self-centered about the whole thing of thinking I found it and no one else did. I think we need to get past that concept of trying to figure out the whole thing of why is everybody looking for Atlantis and what is the great thing about that subject that draws people there at the same time. So it's almost like someone tracing themselves back to the original roots. So it's a fascinating subject. So let's throw some callers, and we're also going to be doing some free readings tonight, guys. So all in, free readings, free angel readings, past life readings. If you're a tarot card person who wants to get a tarot card reading, fine, do so. Oh, if you are a psych or a medium or somebody who wants to come up here and join me in doing some reading, please do so. It would be great to have you there. So let's go to our first caller. First caller is 773 area. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Yes, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. What's your name?
Tempest.
Tempest?
Yeah.
And how can we help you tonight? Did you have any comments about Atlantis yourself, or maybe the idea of tracing the past life of yours? Maybe you were Atlantis too.
We can do that. But I was actually calling with a question.
Okay, go right ahead.
I was calling with a question concerning a relationship that I'm currently in. I'm not sure of what my boyfriend is really feeling about the relationship. Like, I should be able to ask him, but I just really wanted to know, like, what was going on with that relationship and stuff. It's not really, going how I, think it should, or, you know, how it should, like, evenly, like it was. And I was wondering what was going on with us.
Okay. Trying to get that thing going. So with the situation in hand, the first question I usually ask my clients in the situation of the relationship is the idea of asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
About... You really don't know where your boyfriend's coming from or what he's feeling or anything like that.
Right.
Do you think in some ways that he has a tendency to be on his guard?
Yes.
So therefore he blocks you and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Like, it gets to a point, like right now, it's like with my boyfriend, we've been dating, you know, for a couple of months, like eight or 9 months, you know. But, like, I came to him with a situation that I was feeling or going through. And it's like he wasn't, like, sensitive. You know, it's like, you know, when you love or care for somebody, you're supposed to be like, yeah, babe, what's going on? You know, try to encourage your significant other to try to do better. Or, you know, although it's not his job all the time to do that, because I should be able to pick myself up too, but what about some encouragement? What about some positivity? And that bothered me. And I was wondering, like, what was he feeling at a point that he can't share those special feelings with me? Like, why hasn't he? He used to. Why is he not anymore?
You know, when I look at the situation, it's, it just says everything happening as it needs to right now. It's like, look past the illusion and see the underlying order. And usually what that means is look past, how would you put this? It's like, look past the relationship that you're hoping to have to see what's really there.
Okay.
You know, because some people sort of look at the situation and go, you know, I don't know what's up here. That's something you really should. I mean, if the connection is what it is, you should know. And that's a proven fact. You know, the idea, even the relationships I've been in that didn't last forever, but in the course of situations and knowing what was going on, I definitely knew later on after I thought about it and focused on the whole thing, I was definitely getting signals and messages from that person who was talking to me. Telepathically, maybe, but still the communication going on. And a lot of times with situations, what we need to do is we need to open minds and get past logical sense of the word of talking with our mouths and realizing that communication has been going the whole time, even when people don't say anything.
Right.
And being aware of that and trying to take a look at the situation and asking yourself right now, I mean, certain situations like that, you're ticked off. And, you know, because you felt like there had been, like you said before, I don't need someone to do it all for me, but at least have some kind of support as in a relationship, saying, okay, whatever you decide to do, I support you 100%. And that situation, like we have a friend who's kind of dancing around it and giving you a little bit here and there, but almost like trying to tell you to walk away from the situation altogether without even taking a look at what was going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, the hardest part about relationships is the idea of realizing that you might actually have to move on because it's just not what you thought it was.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting passion with this. I'm just getting passion off in your heart to the situation and realizing one thing. Sometimes we got to sit there and really put ourselves in the situation and get down to the heart of the matter. And what that term really means is to get to the heart of the matter. What is really going on? The one thing I get the most since happening for the last 2 weeks for some reason, where the girls I've been working with keeps, I'm in love with a guy. Even when I ask the question, well, how do you feel about you? And they're like, well, I love this guy. And it seemed like me, at that sense of the word, all they want to do is put someone, they love him and hoping that love will actually manifest the kind of relationship they want with him without even thinking of what they're getting back or sometimes the lack of what they're getting back.
Right.
If a person can't, if you cannot feel how a person feels that you're in a relationship with, he's probably blocking you. And it's the idea of trying to figure out why he's blocking you. Or maybe you should just even jump the gun here and go, doesn't really matter. Obviously, he's blocking his feelings or he's not able to express them. Either way you look at the situation, he really can't give you what you want, which is in your sense, your definition of what a relationship is getting that 100% emotional comeback as you're giving it.
Yes, I'm giving some, yeah.
So when you look at the situation, the signs, it's like people always say, I'm looking for a sign here. Sometimes the signs are so obvious that we miss them sometimes. Or maybe we just look at him and say, okay, I know it's what it is, but, you know, right now dealing with this asshole is a whole lot better than going out there in that crazy world. And sometimes it's better to go out in the crazy world than deal with
the asshole.
Yeah, thank you. Sometimes we got to call it what it is, you know? And
yeah.
We can also do this. You know, I like to look at the positive side of a thing where we look at the deep root of the thing and just simply look at the situation and say, okay, if I'm destined for somebody else, then he is too. So it's best to let him get there before I go on without any kind of strings attached and a clear conscience. So when I get in a relationship, I can get 100% to the person I'm supposed to be with.
Wow.
Because it says compassion here. And compassion is the archangel. We've got two archangels working with you. Archangel Regal, which is trying to get you to look past the illusion and see how everything is happening exactly what it's supposed to, because it is what it is. Not what you'd like it for it to be. Supportive, and if this person to be there and loving and caring. But to the idea of realizing he can't, and he doesn't, and he's not... realistically, your gut feeling keeps telling you, I don't think he can give back to me what I'm giving to him. So it's just the idea of being honest with yourself. He needs some work. But also the bottom line is he's destined for somebody else, and so are you. I almost get the impression when you're with him, you feel like you're still being pulled to go forward
sometimes
anyway.
I feel like he's somewhere else. I feel like he's somewhere else, that he's not with me. That he's, you know, like he, you know how you have a feeling, like a feeling in your pit of your stomach where not like they're cheating on you, but like they're like somewhere else. And I feel
like. What you're saying. Yeah, it's like you're sitting there talking to the guy, like he's like he's not there.
Or it's like he belongs somewhere else. Like I belong somewhere else, and so does he.
Yeah, no, I get that one. Yeah, that's. Best way of putting it, because what I got too is Angel Sandalphon, but the Archangel Zadiel, that's spelled Zadaiel, and that's the one I was talking about before. The Archangel saying soften your heart with respect to the situation and all people involved, including yourselves, is the ideal, just letting down the resistance and realize it is what it is. And then the Archangel Sandalphon, your prayers have been heard, they've been answered, you just had to have faith. But also the situation of having faith to know when you're getting those kind of signs to have the strength to walk away. Because I actually have two things here with Archangel Sandalphon, two cards, right? I mean, they're right next to each other. One says your prayer has been heard, answered, have faith. The other one's talking about we angels give you gifts from the Creator. Open your arm to receive. So it's the idea of looking at the situation of realizing that I need to separate myself from this situation, move on, because as they're talking about the gift from God is the idea of what you've been looking for in a relationship. It's in the future. Well, I wish I didn't say in the future, but it's in the process of moving forward and moving on.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Because I'll give you one more card, okay?
Okay.
The one more card that I pulled out was New Beginnings. I'm pretty sure, to me, that's self-explanatory.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the situation and go, okay, you sure that's the person I should be moving on? Or is it the idea of working more on this relationship and this is a gift from God? And looking at it from what I can see is no. It's a new beginning of moving forward and having a new beginning with somebody else.
Okay.
And I actually feel like that you've already felt that yourself. It was just the idea of getting the courage and the strength to actually realize it and follow through.
Yes.
And that's one thing you should do too. So you should take a deep breath and go, let it go. I always tell people to do breathing techniques from time to time until you can actually see it for what it is and go, and you, in the process of that, you usually feel it going. Also, with the situation of money, you should try this. A couple simple affirmations, which is basically talking about, I certainly expect more money to flow to me. And the other affirmation is, I could certainly use more money. Now, you see this? These are opening the door for more money to come flowing in your life. But what you do is, you say the first one, which is, actually, I had said it in the opposite way. What you should do is say one first and say, I could certainly use more money. That's an affirmation. And then, you know, I'm trying to put this in perspective, because I just saw this myself, where they're talking about using affirmations, but also working with certain pressure points, where you take your fingers and you tap the middle of your forehead, where most people would say the third eye is. You tap it there for a couple minutes, take a deep breath, and exhale, and then go to your cheek, where the cheekbone is. Tap it there. Okay.
Okay.
And then tap under the nose. And as you're doing this, breathe in and breathe out, letting, and just say to yourself, let go. And at the same time you're tapping these places, you say, you can do it, you can do them one at a time, and then you can do them both after you've gotten, I guess, comfortable and gone through it a couple of times, where you say, I could certainly use more money. And you just kept tapping those little places on your cheeks and on your, and then as you could take it down to your chin, tap your chin, and you'll feel like there's a pressure points. And what you're doing is balancing out the energy too as well. And then you take it down to your collarbone and just kind of like take your fingertips and just kind of tap across the whole, like across right in, what I'm saying is you tap across the whole collarbone. Okay? And then you go back up and start with the forehead again, and just to, and then to the cheek, and then underneath the nose, and then to the chin. Okay? Oh, that's another one. I'm sorry. One more. You take and put your arm, put your hand, like you take your right, if you're right-handed, take your right hand, put it against your neck, and then go under your arm with your other hand, and do the same thing. Take the palm of your hand and just start tap underneath your arm too as well. That's part of the sequel I told you, I was telling you before. Just do that one thing, Aaron.
Okay.
I was sitting there listening to the guy say it, because as you're doing that, you say, I could certainly use more money. And they say, I certainly expect more money to flow to me.
Okay.
So you're just affirming it. I certainly expect more money to flow to me. And then you just keep doing those things, and then you kind of do them together when you sit there and say, I could certainly use more money. I certainly expect more money to flow to me. And as you're tapping those pressure points, you can also feel it. It's kind of funny, you know, it's like just balancing energy out. So you won't push things away. You'll actually become a magnet and pull things with you. So it's kind of amazing, that whole thing. So give those a try as well. And also the meditation I always tell people about that I like the most, the ideal reconnection, where we just we sit in a nice quiet place where we can't be bothered for about 10 or 15 minutes. We take our head, we bow our head, close our eyes, focus on the space behind the heart. See it. What you do is you focusing on seeing a blue pilot light. This is your God essence. And then as you're focusing on that point, say to yourself or say out loud, whichever you feel comfortable with, I am love. I am love. I am love. I am love. And pay attention to the energy. You'll definitely feel the vibration going up. And this is what you're actually looking for, to keep doing that. Now, when I first started doing this, this is basically what it is. It's reconnecting the physical with the spiritual with the physical. It's a balancing out of actually becoming one again instead of being separated from source. Okay? So you keep doing that.
Okay.
And working with that. And when you do that, you'll feel it too, because it's like you're basically what you're saying at that time, I am love. I love myself. And the idea of saying I love myself and I am love, you also reconnect or reacquaint yourself with source, which is God. I thought it was pretty incredible to sit there and think about, people think about doing readings and that kind of stuff, and it's the devil's work, and I'm sitting there going, I'm sorry, guys, but I just can't imagine doing this kind of work and reaffirming that God does exist.
Yeah.
As the devil's work, and realizing that we're just trying to help people out to realize what they're really wanting, to the point where wanting what you want, God basically wanted to create the world, and this whole thing, this universe and everything else, did it in 6 days. But see, there was a want there. So therefore, if we're made in the image and we trace it down to source, you know, we can do the same things God can't do. So therefore, what we want, for some reason, we're taught that you have to compromise. No, what it means by compromising is the idea of compromising in favor of what's good for you.
I just think he just wants us to have what we want the right way, like the right way of wanting what you want instead of just grabbing it and, you know, and misusing it. He wants you to take time and be delighted in what you want. He wants you to be happy, but he just wants you to be happy the right way.
No, that's right. Because, you know, when you go out and obtain things the right way, there's no guilt attached to it. So therefore, you can actually enjoy it and experience it to the fullest. Also, the situation of love itself, you know, if you think about what is sin, sin is basically... description of sin is lack of. So people, when they have the lack of love, they have a tendency to take someone's wife or they have a tendency to put themselves in situations they would normally not do because of the lack of faith in themselves, that they will sit there and go, I'm lonely, I'm tired of being by myself, when it's actually the lack of loving oneself too as well. So therefore they go find someone else to fulfill them when they don't realize that's not their... it's nobody's responsibility to fulfill you and help you be a complete person. And like I've always said before, too, when you sit there and look at, you know, people sit there and go, well, you know, two people come together and they complete each other. That's true in some sense, but you have to be complete before you get there. And that means, because if you look at a puzzle has many pieces. And when you can look at yourself and your significant other, there's those two pieces that come together. But if you look at the situation, that puzzle, you don't have half pieces. You have whole pieces come together. So if therefore, if you only had half a piece, you would still see that there's missing picture. So the missing piece in the picture is missing pieces that you have gotten acquainted within yourself. Oh my gosh. So we just look at the situation and just say, you know, what is love? Love is love. But you can't completely love somebody 100% unless you're actually loving yourself the same way. You can't give something you don't have. So therefore, if you find yourself not being able to love someone 100%, then you have to trace it back to source and look at yourself and go, okay. Or even the people that think they're not connected to source. They have a tendency to have that kind of down themselves and that kind of stuff. Because have you ever noticed people who actually believe in something? To have direction. People who don't just kind of like filter and just kind of look around going, don't care if I go forward, backwards or whatever. That it's just one of those situations, I don't care. And then you sit and look at the situation. I guess it also falls down the bottom of saying, they don't care. People who really care and really love and really put themselves out there, give of themselves. So have you ever heard someone say that they're being selfless?
Yeah.
Run away, because if you
okay.
see a person, I'm just saying the person giving of themselves. Because if you're being selfless, then self isn't in there. Therefore, you're not giving anything to anybody. It's more of a look at me. I'm doing a nice thing or doing a good thing. Because people who actually are really good about that whole thing and giving to charity and that kind of stuff, half the time you don't know about it until after the fact. I mean, look at Michael Jackson. Every once in a while you hear about a lot of things, but it wasn't until after he died did you realize this guy was giving over probably close to $5 million a year to charity. So, but, you know, those are some of the things he didn't make notice. Sure, we heard about his music. We heard about Michael Jackson, that kind of stuff. But we didn't hear about the charity thing. And that, to me, that's a real giving person because they're not doing it to get attention. They're doing it because they really want to help and they really want to give.
And that's the same response I would want from a person that I, you know, like when I meet someone, either if it's not love, even friendship, you know, family, whatever the case is. But as far as love, it's like with the love that I hope to give because I feel that I give to others is the type of love where I'm not like others. I don't, you know, be inconsiderate. I'm very, you know, trustworthy. I'm truthful. I'm loving. And I just want the same experience. And I was just... family, friends, and, you know, just all around me. And I just feel like, I don't know why. Maybe I do need to look within myself because I won't be attracting these type of people.
Sometimes that's what it is. You know? When you, like, people go, how come I keep attracting these deadbeats? It's the ideal. Look within yourself. Asking yourself, what are you doing? And sometimes in the situation, people think it's a bad thing, but it can be a reflection that these people that keep coming to you and taking from you and not giving back what you want can be this just a reflection to you of you realize that you should be doing that for yourself. You're not.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes we look at these reflections, but one thing I do know for a fact, that everybody who crosses your path is sure is reflecting something back at you, and you look at the whole situation. I mean, we're sitting here talking about these dummies on TV who are constantly coming in the chat rooms and blasting everybody, which is the point where you're like, I wonder why they keep doing that. And it could be just a reflection of maybe speaking more of more of me speaking my mind, but it could also be a reflection that you are doing good things, and you have people out there who just don't want to acknowledge it, because they do, then they have to take a look at themselves.
Do you think that, like, you know, like, do you think at times, like, I should know this about, it's crazy because I keep saying I should know this about myself, but sometimes you could be good and not even realize you are. You know, sometimes you just do it because this is just you. And then you can finally realize something about yourself. I'm like, dang, I didn't even know it. Until, like, somebody recognize you, like, you was really kind for doing that. And, you know, like, to you, it's, like, normal. Like, okay, what's the big deal? No, everyone's not doing that, you know? So when I ask that question, like, you know, do you feel that, I don't know. It's crazy. I just be looking at stuff, so.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
What the heck? You know, I sit there. I keep going over things, driving myself crazy with situations, too, where people come up and say, you're great, you're fantastic. And you just kind of look at them going, I don't know who the heck's knocking on the freaking door, but go away. I know that freaking door ain't even locked. So I'm going to shoot them all. I swear. Anyway, it's grandkids.
This is grandkids.
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, I have a. I don't know why the door is even locked. I think Grandma might have locked the door because my youngest granddaughter was here, and she has a tendency to just come upstairs and they can be a surprise to everybody. But, do you have any more questions before you go? You know something?
You need as far what? As the My
headphones. For what? No, I don't have any headphones except for the guy on my head right now. Why? For what? That's nice, Missy. I'm right in the middle of doing a radio show. I'm live here on Block TV. I'm in Ustream. And I'm also live on Block TV, right? Block Radio. Okay, shit. How come I say that? Blog?
Talk Radio.
Thank you. Blog Talk Radio. And I'm actually talking to somebody right now. So you want to say hi to everybody? The camera's right there, and that camera's on. See, we're live. Yes, guys, if you check out Ustream and Blog TV right now, you'll see my daughter and my granddaughter. If they look at the like, that's what they do. Nope, that means I was having kids when I was 10. So... Yeah, that's me. That's you. See your face? Yes, that's the live camera there. That's my book. I don't get it. What are those ones? I don't know if I can do that. Newt. What are you doing? Oh my
well,
gosh.
Thank you.
Up. Okay. That's it. Hold up. No. Take her down before she breaks something. I just got the computer back from a cracked screen.
Wait, you have two computers.
You're good.
Hello? Hello? Hello. Hello.
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, I can
hear
you now.
The one bass was pretty high on the thing, too. Who's that? Right now I'm waiting for... I got these callers calling in right here. So do you have more questions before you go?
No, that's it. That's about it. I'll let you get to your next caller. But thank
All
you.
Right.
Thank you a lot. Helping me out.
Oh, you're welcome. Give us a call. Thanks. Give us an update about your situation. But like I said before, the thing I see the most is that you should move on. Because there's... And when I sit here and say something's bad for you, it means that something's better for you. Which means
okay.
You're looking for what's good in the situation, the kind of relationship that you want. People have a tendency to say, well, you got to compromise love. Oh, give me a break. You know,
yeah.
Compromise is when people come together. One wants to do one thing, one wants to do the other, and you meet in the middle to come up with a solution. You can call it a compromise if you want to, but it's a solution which is better, which is good for both of you, not good for the other. And that's one thing about the solutions, too, I like to stress to people out there in relationships, is the idea of coming up with a solution that's good for both of you, that you both agree with one sitting over here going, well, you know, sometimes you got to give in. Because those people, I don't care what you are, you still got a human little side that kicks in from time and goes, I'm tired of giving in. I'm tired of compromising all the time. So it's like one of those things, what works for both of you? And you can find win-win situations. I do it all the time. If you can't find a win-win situation, this is a good chance to really sit down and work with your angels who can actually see things that we can't see to find that solution. Because we're trying to make each other happy. And not the idea of really making each other happy. It's the idea of finding a happy solution so we can all be happy about it. Now, we've heard this thing, I'm doing this to make you happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if the person who's doing it ain't happy. It's the same thing with love. If you don't love yourself, you can't love. If you're not strong within yourself, then you can't be strong for somebody else. It's the same thing with people out here. We have situations where people are, how would we put this? Okay, your girlfriend's going through a hard time. Smack always. All right?
Mm-hmm.
She's having a terrible time. You don't take yourself down to her level. Oh, let's all cry together. No, she's looking for some strong shoulders to lean on you. And it's the same thing with the guy, too. I don't care what guys say. They consider going, well, you know, I carry the whole burden. You're a nut. You don't want to carry the whole burden. It's a relationship. With every successful man, there's a very supportive woman. You see that point there? And it's the same thing in this society right now, with the situation that women want to work, too. We can sit here and agree with it or not agree with it. But but in the ideal, if it's going on, if it's really happening right at this moment, then you have to look at that situation and that equation, too. So, therefore, it starts going back and forth. You know, when it's time to be supportive of her career, then you should be supportive and vice versa. And at the same time, be strong for each other. You know, the stuff of sitting around going, you know, like you have a drug addict. You don't want to sit there and take drugs with him. That ain't going to solve no problem.
No, it's not.
You know, you want to be the strong one. Sit there. And when I say strong, that doesn't always mean to also enable them too either, so you don't give in. You got to be strong. And when it's like you have to be strong to do the right thing at the right time. And that's what I'm saying. People are going, you know, we can sit here and have a, how would we put this? In the process, like you were saying before, to, you know, God wants us to go out and get what we want in the right way. So therefore, if you're in a situation and you know your wife wants to do something, but you come in there and you go, you know, I feel real comfortable with this whole situation, so therefore I don't think you should do it. When all it is you not willing to deal and confront your own insecurities, so you're going to make her give up something to make you feel comfortable. That is wrong.
Do you feel that I'm going through that?
Yes, I do. And I feel like if you move on, I feel like And it keeps coming to me as the next person that you come across is going to be somebody going to be on the same level as you are. The guy you're talking about now, people will look at him and say, well, he's a strong individual man, and he's not. Because if he can't be there for you emotionally, he's kind of scared. He's scared of that emotional connection. And so therefore, it weakens the relationship. And then you have a tendency to give in to make him feel good.
And that will, and continue, you know, if I continue, like if I didn't receive that from you, right, I would have went down a path just thinking like, let me just work it. You know, maybe you will understand. You know, everybody's been in that relationship with somebody once in their life. Or they try to work it out so much that by the time they're out of it, they're so drained that they have to spend so much time trying to build themselves up when they already was, you know, hot before they met that person. You know, like, it's crazy how people can drain you and you won't even
know. Oh, yeah. So what you got to do is take back your power.
Yep.
People, you know, it's like trying to figure out exactly what that means, too, because, you know, sometimes the situation is the ideal. What you're doing is giving up your power, and they're taking it. You know, anytime you give somebody something, if I walk up to you right now, give you a $100 bill, are you going to say no?
No.
Exactly. So
I'm like, are you serious? I would never turn it down.
So we got a person here, center, going, okay, here's my energy. Go ahead. I'm relinquishing my energy and my power. Go, take it. You think someone's going to go, oh, no, thank you. You know, and, you know, and realistically in the world we live in right now, people have a tendency to do that. When something is given to them, they have a tendency to go, no, I can't do that because I can't accept charity. And they're going, are you nuts? And it's not the ideal. It's not the idea of saying, okay, I have money and energy and, ooh, that's really priceless commodity. Take it. No, it goes on a little bit deeper than that of saying, if we're in the process of human beings and getting into the spiritual thing of manifesting things, how do you know that something you said or did didn't cause that to happen to where now it's coming to you and you have to learn how to let down the resistance to accept in
what
the
it
fullest
is
of your manifestation, yes.
Yeah.
$100 dropping in. I mean, some people are like crazy. I mean, I met some people when I was in freaking Colorado. I go, you know, if you find a dollar bill on the freaking ground, you must go out there and find the owners of that dollar bill. Or else karma is going to get you. You're sitting there going, hold up. What? That kind of goes against the idea of manifestation. Now,
right,
you sit there and say that people don't do things and to manipulate things in some kind of sense, bird. That's usually a one-on-one, you know. But if you find a dollar bill in a grocery store and, you know, you're waiting there going, if you are a person who watches an old lady drop some money on the freaking on the floor and you wait until that old lady walks off just so you can snatch up her freaking money, now, that can be a bad
thing. That's wrong. That's karma coming
back
at you. Yeah, because
you know for a fact. But I'm saying, if you find it, I found, like this is what I, okay. I found a dollar bill as I was walking down the street. You know, you got that water running down the curb?
Yeah.
It had frozen. So the dollar bill was actually frozen in the freaking ice. Now, do you honestly think that happened overnight? And if it did happen overnight, I wasn't there when the dollar bill hit the ground. And somebody's sitting there going, you got to take that dollar bill. You got to go
find a way to get it.
Yeah, but, you know, let's trace it back and go, okay, if that's true of what they're saying, it goes against things I read about where back in the day, back in the ancient times, when people would plant a field of wheat. Do you know they actually had a corner of that wheat field that was actually sanctioned off? For people who didn't have any, that they could come in there and take that?
Really?
Yeah. So, see, someone drops a dollar bill. And it also says in the Bible, everybody gets taken care of. Look at the animals, the trees, and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You think they would get in trouble if they got some fertilizer they wasn't, you know, entitled to? And that's another one, too. It's interpretation. What was they entitled to? You know, because animals and plants and that kind of stuff, if you notice that they only take what they need, but they all seem to be happy and content, and they always seem to get exactly what they want, need, and desire. So when you sit and look at this situation, there's only one animal on this planet who has a tendency to take more than what they really need. Anybody guess who it is?
They'll take probably more than they really need.
Yeah, it's called men. Man has a tendency to take more than he wants. Because look at millionaires. You look at millionaires. Okay. It's great to have great lifestyles, but look at the situation of people who make, I mean, the ideal being a billionaire. What's the point? You know?
Yeah.
He lives
way. What's the
point
without giving? Some people are born into that life. Some people, I don't know. But if in order to live that life, I feel that you should be able to give back at some point. It's not good to be rich and be stingy, so.
Well, it's one of those things. If you're a person who's like, well, say, for instance, Michael Jackson had a lot of stuff, all things going on. Then we have an imbalance, which put him in a situation where what happened at the end of his life. But if you look at the time when his life was doing really great and he was happy and content with all the things going on, he was also giving out.
Yeah.
Probably the same thing he was taking in. So, like with some of the charities and that kind of stuff, you know, even people who don't understand the concept know for a fact that when they give, they receive. You know, you think it's like just looking at everybody and all the situations of some things out there that keep continuously flowing all the time. Because there's a constant outgoing as much as there is an ingoing, you know, giving and receiving.
Yeah.
It's always us. I know we have the people that we have on too much money or just who focus on money for money's sake. If you look at those people, they're constantly nervous. They got bodyguards out the yin yang because they're scared someone's going to take it. So, see, they thought money was going to solve the insecurity of not having it. But, see, the insecurity was still there. Now they're millionaires, but they're still scared someone's going to take it. So, they didn't solve anything. What they need to do is sit down and really focus on their own insecurities and why they feel that way and what is that fear that they need to face. Because they just realize that money didn't care of it. Money's not going to take. You know, I sit here all the time saying, you know, I'd run a business if I had the money. Well, you already have the notion and the ideal, so why don't you try to see what you can do with it now? Because you'll sit here and start finding a lot of businesses out there.
Yeah.
They got started. They obtained investors. So sometimes it's just the idea of talking to the right people to get the right people to invest in what you're doing and to believe as much as you do in it.
That
so
sounds
therefore the,
like a situation with my boyfriend because he's mm-hmm. not a billionaire, but he's, you know, he has some money. He has money. And he felt that at times, I asked him, just one particular day, like sometimes when I think of something, it just comes to my mind, I ask. Not like something is outrageous, but I ask. And I asked him, why haven't you married? You've been in, you know, you have, because he has children before me. He has four children. He's been in, you know, with three different women. And not one time has he ever married, you know, not thought of it, but actually been engaged or gotten married. And I asked him, I said, why haven't you gotten married out of all of these long relationships you've been in with these women? And he basically said, because it seems good in the beginning, but like towards like the middle of the relationship, it seems to me that basically they just wanted me for my money. So like I asked them, so I said, so all you really are looking for somebody who to be true to you. And, you know, he didn't answer, which I you know, I just assumed that he really meant yes, but, you yeah. know. And that just reminded me a lot about how he is and how he carries on about money and how proud he feels when he does things, but it's not about that. Like, when I first talked to him, it never was about that. It was way more than that, way more than him just giving, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. And I just felt like, you know, why is that? Why do people do that? Why do people feel that they have to have money to feel great about themselves or to try to keep someone in control or manipulative, you know, being manipulative with their money and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes you look at the situation, the guy says, you know, the guys understand they want me for my money. You know, sometimes you look at both sides of the story. Does he have an insecurity that people are using him? Is it because he's using them? Emotional. It goes back and forth, the situation of looking at things. But like I said before, sometimes we look at situations and go, do they want to deal with this?
And if you feel like you don't need to deal with it, maybe you really don't need to deal with it. Just because, you know, guidance comes in many forms. So, you know, it's the ideal. Sometimes it's just something he's telling me to move on. Do you really need to know why? Or do you just need to trust what you're being...
You're asking me?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you.
Okay. All right.
Because that's the thing I found with a lot of people. You should look at the situation. Tell your boyfriend he should donate to the show. But
okay.
I always tell people flat, you know, sometimes we're going to talk about money and the ideal of the situation of saying, okay, some people can give in many ways. And sometimes with situations, it's easier to give money because of some places that you want to give to. Or, you know, say you want to give to a nail society in California, but you live in Ohio. You're not going to walk there to give them a hug, are you?
No.
So sometimes you can send them $100, and you feel like you're actually contributing to the situation of knowing that money's going to them to help the animals or if your children or whatever the charity is. And sometimes I don't think we should really call them charities. I think we should call them, they're just functions that need help with the situation of, and sometimes in the, I'm just saying, sometimes with the situation of support, some people support in many, many ways. I mean, I was talking about people actually helping me with my website. You know, they contributed with support good writers. So some people contributed to rewriting my script on my webpage and that kind of stuff. I used to work for a company not too long ago where people would sit there and say, you know, I don't have any money to give to you. I can do the graphics on your webpage. You know, things like that. It's basically everybody working together with everybody else's businesses to keep those things going well, to realize there's no such competition. And 9 out of 10 times, people don't like giving because they feel like they do. It takes away from it takes away from them.
Are you coming on tonight? Or you? This is your only show?
Am I what?
Do you have a show later on tonight? Like, usually have late shows.
Late shows are actually on Wednesday nights and Friday and Saturday nights.
Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah, on Tuesdays we do a show, but after, you know, it's one of those things of gearing myself up for the part of the week because it's going to be, I mean, if you look at Friday and Saturday, those are usually 2 and 3 hour shows, so it's like being on there like 5 to 6 hours. So we like to take it easy on Tuesday, okay?
Okay, because I'm going to get back to you because I want to talk to you more. So I might contact you. I might send you a message on Blog Talk and then probably say we can talk through email or probably on the phone on Blog Talk, but I'm going to let somebody else get his head. So.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely give me a call and we'll chat through things. Like I said, we have a Wednesday show at 8, Thursday at 8, Friday at 8, and Saturday at 8. And then on, like I said, it's kind of crazy when you do the midnight show because it's right on the cusp between Wednesday and Thursday. So you're like, what day is it? Seriously,
thank you.
You're welcome, and you have a great night. And please give us a call if you can tell us things are going. And yeah, definitely get in contact with me, okay?
Sure thing. Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome. Have a good
Bye-bye.
Night.
You too.
Ooh.
You too. Bye-bye. Let's see here. I'm not sure. 678. How are you doing tonight? I wasn't sure if you just... Are you there? Who's listening? 678. How are you tonight? Hello? Okay. Anyway, if you want to give a call in here. And like I said, we're doing free readings tonight, too, as well, talking about Atlantis. And so you can call here at 646-721-9031. And please, if you have any comments or want to bring some things about things that you know about Atlantis and that kind of the show, please do so. Also, give us a call at 646-721-9031 and share with us as well. Also, with the situation, let's see, I got stuff I was looking at here. All right, so sit here and look at the situation. I usually talk hemi-sync CDs. Hemi-sync CDs, great for meditation. They have a tone that rings out music. It actually helps both hemispheres of the brain work together, which gives you intense focus and concentration. Check them out. You want to check those out, go to www.hemi-sync.com. Again, that address is www.hemi-sync.com. You can give them a call at 1-800-541-2488 or 434-263-8692. Again, those numbers are 1-800-541-2488 or 434-263-8692. You can also fax them if you'd like to, too, if that's more convenient for you, at 434-263-8699. Let's see. Also, there's a company called BrainSync. Now, these are subliminal C's. Alrighty. And that's the company there. Go to the website. And plus, when you go to those websites, you'll see that they usually have samples, and they also have MP3 downloads, which are usually a whole lot cheaper than getting the CD themselves. You can download them on your computer and put them out on a disc, and you're good to go. Or you can put them on your MP3 player. www.brainsync.com. And you can call them at 1-800-444-7962 or 1-800-444-SYNC. Again, that's 1-800-444-7962. And you can also call them straight through at 541-488-7870. Again, 541-488-7870. Also, I do private readings, too, as well. And right now, we're doing where it's for 60 to 90-minute sessions. For people who call the show, it's at $65. And for a 3 to 5-minute session, it's $45. And for a 15-minute to 30-minute session, that's $30. And actually, I got a thing called one-card readings where I can actually take one angel card and do a 15-minute reading with that, and that's $15. So give that a shot and jump in there and take advantage of those situations. And also tonight we're giving a 60-minute reading for the 10th caller, so give us a call. And the 10th caller will win 60-minute reading, so check it out. Also, we were giving a thing for whoever gives the highest donation this month will win. I have a CD set. I gotta find it here. Let's see here. We're giving away this CD set. What's called Your Wish is Your Command. It's a 14 CD set called Your Wish is Your Command. How to Manifest Your Desires. How Anyone Can Make Millions. The Money Making Secrets They Don't Want to Tell You About. So check that out. It's 14 CD set. And for whoever gives the biggest donation this month, will win this. And plus, they will also win a 60-minute session. And that's for relationship counseling, life coaching, a reading, life readings, whatever you would like to do. It's your 60-minute session for free. And also this 14C set, Your Wish is Your Command. Check it out for the biggest donation this month. And donations are really appreciated. And therefore, we have this thing going on where donate to the Colorado Fund, help me get home. Also donate to support the show, help us keep the format going so we can keep doing sessions like this and talking to people and you know, giving them the information they need to have great relationships, make big movements in their lives, to make to take those risks, to also help them realize that every time you take a risk, it's not a risk, it's the answer, and it's the direction you need to go in. So give us a call at 646-721-9031 for a free reading, comments. We're doing past life readings, too. Was you an Atlantean? Just call in and find out. And like I said before, I do private readings. And for a $65, it's $65 for a 60 to 90-minute session. It's $45 for a 30 to 45-minute session. And for a 15 to 30-minute session, it's $30. And for a one-card angel reading, a 15-minute reading, it's $15. So give us a call on my private line to 740-601-1057 or 740-601-9835. Or contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And like I said, we sit here and look at all the things around there and all the things that go along with that. And you'll see the prices and everything on the website. But don't, that's, you know, it's one of those, that's a place to start. If you have a deal that you want to bring to the table of something that you can pay because you really want to get a reading, please give me a call and let me know what it is. If you're a person who would like to sponsor the show and maybe do advertise to the show, and give me a call at 740-601-1057. And this work together, as advertised, is, you know, make a big difference in the world right now, because we're trying to really bring some things here in the next couple of weeks where we can actually bring two or three psychics on each show. Therefore, you can have a chance to actually ask how many psychics are here? The same question, see what the comments and that kind of stuff. Maybe get confirmation in one or two ways. So give us a call, and also the ideal. Check out Doreen Virtue books and CDs. They're really incredible. She has CDs on karma clearing, shock clearings, books as well. She also has the angel books that she can teach you how to work with the angels, and Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael. So check it out. It's Doreen Virtue on Amazon.com. Also, the guy we talked to, his name is John Randolph Price. And he has some really incredible books, too, as well. Like The Jesus Code, Super Beings, The Angels Within Us, Harnessing Angel Energy as well. So check out those on Amazon.com. And we're also talking about Atlantis tonight. So if you want to give a call in here and talk to that too as well, because the theories that we got going on here is talking to everybody about the situation of not just one or two or this and that and the other places they're going through. But they also sit there and maybe the ideal though that they're all right. And sometimes give people a hard time with that thing. So just give us a call in here, 646-721-9031, and we'll see what's up with the situation of angel readings and that kind of stuff. We have some things really going on. I'm trying to find that one. Right now we're also live on Ustream and Blog TV. So give us a check us out on Blog TV and Ustream. That's Psychic X Journeyman. Can't miss it. See what we got going on there. Let's see here. I was thinking of checking out some other things. If you have any comments about Google Maps, said that they actually found Atlantis and it's been a big old thing. And that was pretty much a lot of things going on there too. We have this thing with Bin Laden. Do you think Bin Laden actually captured him and killed him? Or do you think it's a front for the government to try to make themselves look good right now? So give us a call in here at 646-721-9031. Also, Cheryl John, we are doing psychic readings tonight, so give us a call in here and see what's up. Okay, we're doing readings, we're doing all kinds of stuff tonight, so give us a call. Let's check it out and see what we can do with it, right? We also had a theory there for a while where I was like, look at the situation of everybody about Atlantis and the connections with all the, where you can look at everything around the world. And are you seeing connections with things going on around? UFOs. Oh, they also call the ones with, when they go under the water kind of stuff. That kind of situation. What's all about that? So that was interesting in itself. Shoot. So give that a shot as well. And right now, we're going to sit here and we have a caller on the queue. So, okay, let's try this one more time. All right. Area code 562 on the air. Welcome. How are you tonight? And what's your name?
Hello. Hello, Psychic Journey Man.
Well, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I thought I'd call and get a mini reading. Am I the 10th caller?
Actually, you're the second one, but close.
I don't know, 2 and 10, I think there's a lot of numbers in between. But
right.
Anyway, I'm picking whatever you have for me. What does my guides want to say? What's up?
What's your first name?
Sally.
Sally. That's kind of freaky. So, she's talking about what her guides are talking, what they're saying, and actually, one of my guides is named Sally.
Oh, Allie, okay.
No, Sally. Sally, yep, just like yours.
Okay.
Unless you're Allie. Are you Allie or Sally?
I'm not Allie.
Okay, so you're Sally.
Yeah.
Well, so am I. I mean, I'm not personally, I'm saying what my guides are, Sally. No, I was in a situation where they have a say for you. I said, yeah, I know. You know, I keep getting this thing with everybody for some reason. The ideal this year seems like a very intense year where people are basically getting back to the point of taking back their power, which is the ideal of realizing exactly what they can do in their life, how they can direct the energy and which way they want to go to, and actually the ideal of building a life they never thought they could do before.
Okay.
And to me, that's just intense stuff. The energy is intense.
Oh, around me, the energy is very intense around me?
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
So when you look at the sale, you've got power. You're a powerful teacher. You seem to learn things and tell people, and you seem to really like being, I don't know, I keep seeing visions of you know, sitting down and working with people. And how would you put this? Looking at... You have a tendency to get yourself in situations where you're just constantly talking about things, and you seem to be very passionate about your beliefs, and you know, does that make sense to you?
Yes, I'm on a project that I'm very intense and emotionally involved in, and I'm changing. I'm making a change right now, and I'm wondering if I'll find somebody.
Did you lose somebody? I'm just kidding. Let's see. You're looking to find somebody.
This would be in a business, not a love, but a business. This is like stuff that's been going on, like on a project, a business project. And I'm looking for somebody new to take it on. You know, we need to hire professionals to... do things for us, and the last one said, I can't handle it anymore, I can't afford it anymore, you need to find somebody else, I'll help out, but it's too much
money. Mm-hmm.
So,
I see the serenity you're looking for, which is the idea to bring more abundance into your life, is the idea of focusing on finding someone like you.
Say that again?
Is the idea of focusing on finding somebody like you.
Okay.
You know, I keep getting 2 months.
I can't wait 2 months. You sure it's not like 2 days? I need to find someone to help me now.
Okay.
And I've been making phone calls the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. It's like, to me, it's across as 2 months. That doesn't mean it's going to take 2 months. I just get a 2 month span here. I would say between 2 weeks and 2 months. And I get the impression, for some reason, I keep focusing on 3 calls that you've already made, which seem to be panning out, will be panning out. You'll be, you know, seem like something with those old things are going to be coming back to you, where it's, you put the word out, and I guess the sign is that these people coming to you after you've made the initial contact.
Right, I have one to, I have made a couple of phone calls out, but I haven't heard from, I've been getting a whole lot of no's, because the thing is, I'm so far into this. I'm basically asking someone not to start from the beginning, but to start 3/4 into it or 80% into it. Or I mean, it's we're way into this. And the person I had, he said, I can't do it anymore. I can't afford this. It's like he bit off more than he can chew, I guess I could say. But yet he left me and said, I'll help you. I'll even help your new lawyer. I can't afford this.
So he bit off more than he could chew, which means he thought he could do it. He even told you to do it. And all of a sudden he gets into the whole thing and realizes he can't.
That's the lawyer. Sometimes you get lawyers that are opening their own practice. They see this case that has, they feel, or I think, I might have a lot of potential to make a lot of money. It has the potential is there. And I guess the eyes are big, the pocketbooks are small, because it costs money to do this. And bit off more than he can chew. Now I'm looking. I'm like, I feel like I'm a spinny and I'm busy. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
But I've been making phone calls, and you know, has it been one of the phone calls so far? I've been getting so many no's, and no's. Because we're so far into this, they have to pick up towards the end and polish it, and you know. I don't know.
Oh yeah, when I sat here and looked at the situation, it's like I had somebody I was doing a show here, and I had a guest who didn't show up, and for some reason I sit there and I picked my phone up. The first phone number that came out for some reason was a friend of mine. And I called her up, and I said, hey, I need, you know, come on my show. And she's like, what day was you expecting? I said, how about 10 minutes, you know? And so she said, I don't think I can do that. I said, okay, no problem, you know. I understand. I mean, I called you at the last moment, just trying to fill the spot in and kind of stuff. And then she hung up. But then she called back about it a half hour later.
She probably thought about it and called back. Yeah. She says, maybe I will. You know, I mean, people change their minds all the time. You catch them off guard, it's no, and then they think about it and change their minds.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what you feel it has been someone I've already called and I haven't heard from.
Yes.
Female or man? Male or man? Man or woman, maybe I should say.
Okay. I keep getting male.
You're getting a man? Okay.
I'm sorry if it goes against your expectations.
Well, I have been calling some men, but mostly women. Although some of these women work in male law firms. So
yeah, sometimes when it comes to lawyers, I have a hard time with lawyers because male or female, they all have tend to do the same thing, same clothes, all that kind of crap. So it has a tendency to throw the energy off. So you can come off masculine, I will say that.
Well, you know, sometimes you have a woman lawyer and the law firm is male or a man. You know, so, I've been basically calling women, although I have spoken to a few men. So it could be that. So I don't know, I'm just, at the end of the day, I'm like...
I'll just say, with the situation of looking for signs when guides and angels and that kind of, the big thing I get here is Archangel Zachariel, which is just a notice of loving guidance you hear inside your mind. And it says or, but I keep getting and from other people.
And? You keep getting people. What?
And.
I haven't spoken to any Anne.
But also, I'm just saying, it also says to listen to, you know, guidance that comes to you. So it's basically, the card is clairaudient. So it's
the
definitely listening to you. Listening is a big thing. Or listening to yourself. Listening to your gut feeling that comes across when you meet, you start talking to somebody, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Sometimes it's the idea of guiding you also how to talk to those people to make it look more of a great prospect to them so they can actually see the full picture.
I have a case outline. I have everything, you know, try to sell it like a, because they want to know, they have all these questions and so forth. So anyway.
Yeah.
So what's the deal with my last lawyer? Is he going to be a real, you know, bad mouth me to the next one? Is he, because they all want me to settle for nothing.
Mm-hmm. And why they want you to settle is because they want to be done with it and get what they got to get and then get going.
They want me to settle for nothing, sell out for, they throw me, it's like throw me under the bus, sell me for nothing. It's,
mm-hmm.
And I'm going, no. I'm stubborn. But, you know, sometimes you can be so stubborn you shoot yourself in the foot.
That's true.
So,
but it still helps. I mean, the one card I pull out of the deck is clairaudient, to listen. So, you know, it's like it's basically saying you got to listen to yourself, see what's up, and then everything else will fall into place.
So, okay, listen to myself, as in do what I'm doing right now, looking for somebody new.
Pay attention. Notice reoccurring physical and emotional feelings, as this is divine guidance. And see, I keep getting this. I keep getting support. It talks about angels and guides. Clarice and Sam is talking about paying attention to you, your emotions, physical reoccurrences. And it's also talking about outdoors. Usually when I get the card, it goes outdoors to go outside, get some fresh air, connect with nature, release stress, gain new creative ideas. So they're basically pointing to the situations of, I feel like it's one of those things. When you go outside and clear your head, you can hear things a whole lot clearer than they was before. It's the same guidance, but it's the idea of seeing little bits and pieces you didn't see the first time.
Okay.
But we got clear audience, and we have support. Support, if you've seen the card itself, it's very self-explanatory. I always give a view stream or go to book TV. Like, you know, I'm usually holding the cards up to the screen. So you can actually see the cards themselves. And basically what this card shows is we have angels, we have gods, we have Indian guides, we have elementals, and everything else that goes along with it. And then we have this. Then we have the constellations above. It's also a purpley thing. So you know, it's one of those things of your worldly support. So you can see that they're really focusing on those things as well. So it's like your guides, your angels, everybody's come through. It's just the idea of wanting to be heard very clearly.
Okay.
So you really get a strong impression here that one thing about lawyers I don't like is they're too damn logical. This is the way the world is. And they're going, no, it's not. That's a perception. I've seen too many people in too many situations. Like, particularly, there was one situation where a couple was trying to get their kids into a private school. Well, they said that since his birthday fell after the due date, that he couldn't get in. But it was like, we're talking days, okay?
Oh, I've heard that happen before.
Yeah, so, you know, you sit there and look at the situation, and the couple said, no, he's going to go to this school. And the guy said, well, we usually don't compromise on these things. Now, these are pure situations where people are saying we have policies and rules and regulations and we never change them. And for some reason, before it was all said and done, they did just that. They changed and went against what their normal rules and regulations was. And the only thing you can trace it back to is that the couple were very calm and had a picture in their own mind, too, of their own vision of how things were going to happen. And they wasn't willing to compromise. So when they didn't compromise, they ended up getting exactly what they wanted, was their child to be in that school. And I think it was one of those funny situations where so the birth was just, I mean, we're talking right in that little format. And then take it to the extremes and they go to the guy who owns the place, because they thought it was a manager. And the guy said, well, I'm not the manager, I actually own the place. So I know that the owner would not change his mind because I am the owner. But I do have a council, or whatever you want to call it, a board. We do have the board. He said, I'll take it to the board, but we never change our minds. We never compromise. So he went to the board, and he called a week later and said, I don't know why we're doing this, but we're going to let your child go into this school. And you're just like kind of baffled. But is it really baffling, or is it just the ideal? Is this a miracle, or is this just called right thinking, right focused?
Okay.
So that's what I'm getting. The reason I'm sitting here going over the door in the first place is the ideal of your situation. People talking to the whole thing, because an incident that I actually dealt with myself that I was actually a part of, where I had a lady come to me, and she was trying to sell her house in Colorado, and she wanted to sell it for $120,000. But she had a realtor who told her, in this economy, you better lower the price or you're never going to sell that house. She came to me. I told her, no, sell for $120,000 and don't compromise. A week later, she called me up and told me she sold her house for $120,000.
Well, that's a week. That's not very long on the market either. That's excellent.
No, it wasn't. Because that's what I told her. I said, don't let the world dictate your success. You dictate your success. So with the situation, do like I've done with my gut readings and people, I want something to happen next 2 weeks, and they go, I see 2 months. Use it as motivation to get exactly what you want. It's saying, no, it's going to happen at this time. That's why I always recommend doing Virtue's book. She has a lot of things where she talks about certain things of focusing and using people, like when she was in college to become a psychotherapist. Her teacher said she would never get a job as a psychotherapist until she graduated. So she used that to motivate, and she got a job at a hospital as a psychotherapist before she graduated. So, you know, the world will tell you, and those are the people who usually go by the rule, because we could come up with all kinds of reasons why people go by the rules. Sometimes I think just the idea is easier than going out and getting what you want and then getting mad later because you didn't get what you want, not realizing that the only reason you didn't get what you want because you really didn't declare it. You just kind of like... some people call it half-assed it. It halfway came through, so I was good with that. So in a situation, I would just not give in. I believe you're going to find this whole thing, because I mean, I was in the same boat with lawyers and that kind of stuff when I was getting divorced, and people kind of say, you know, you're not going to find a lawyer under, you won't find a lawyer under $1,000 for what you're trying to do. And I just had in my mind, said, nope. Something keeps telling me, keep going. I can find a lawyer $500 to get this done. And I went someplace where I didn't think I could go. I went to the assistant prosecutor here in town, because I went to all the other lawyers, and I wasn't sure she'd even practice being an assistant prosecutor. But I contacted her, and she said, yes, I can do that case for you, and I'll only charge you $500. And I was like, bingo, there it was. I just listen to my intuition. My angels and guys are coming, going, keep going forward, guy. Keep going. You have found that person yet, but you will. Or in your situation, it keeps telling me, because I do get a time frame between 2 weeks to 2 months, which usually when I get those kind of things,
well,
shouldn't take
be,
no more than but 2 weeks.
This week or next week latest. It has to be soon.
Well, I get the impression you can manifest this really quickly and get it done.
Well, yeah.
Because I definitely get that word. It says don't compromise.
Okay. All righty. So I got all these phone calls. I'm making new lists today, and guys keep going. There comes a point where I'm going to be calling everybody. Okay.
I'm just feeling tired today,
and I'm like, you know, sometimes you feel like you're spinning your wheels, you know?
Oh, no. I understand. Believe me. I'm trying to get back to Colorado as quick as possible. I'm like, gosh, didn't think it'd be this long. But they always say things fall into place. And every time I've looked at situations like two, when it's all said and done, you look back on it and you're like, God, it happened. It actually happened the way it was supposed to, which was actually my best interest.
Okay.
So, you have any more questions that you'd like to ask us right now? You're the only person that's in the queue, so
oh,
we got plenty.
I got your soul attention. Oh,
there you go. Yes.
Let me see. What else could I? What could I ask? My summer. I have a nephew coming this summer. I have two boys. My older one likes to give me a bad time.
Don't they all?
Yeah. Oh, he challenges me. And the
yeah,
other one
my
is very
one just showed
soft,
up.
Sweet. I mean, these so different from each other. You know, you'd swear they came from, they raised in different houses under different situations. I swear to God. You would never know. They had the same mother, the same father, and in the same house.
No, really.
And even their perception is so yin and yang. I'm like, oh, my God, how did this happen? And I have a girlfriend who has not had any children, and she knows all the answers. I go, you know what? You know, you need to write a book. Because there's a lot of people with parents who could use all this expert advice.
Oh, really?
Someone who never had children.
Yeah.
You can be a rich lady if it works.
That's the way to do it, right?
Well, but you know, people mm-hmm. who do not have children are very judgmental, and they have all the answers. Haven't you found that to be true for most, a lot of times?
Yeah, they always, you know, some people say, well, if I was you, I have a bad habit of saying, you're not. So.
And having boys in my 20s, I've noticed those, you know, as they were growing up, there were always parents who, like when they went to through school, who were very uppity, who had this persona that everything was perfect and their kids were so perfect and they were like so protecting them from the bad element, only that after all was said and done, the bad element were their kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, is this karma? Is this karma? I mean, she was so, there's a couple of them, so judgmental. I'm like, oh, wow. And all this time you judged all these people's kids as being bad and this and that. They came from bad home, you know. It was always mm-hmm. something. And here's her kids, you know. And like, wow, okay. I didn't do so bad after all. I think my kids, they finished high school. They're in college. They're Eagle Scouts. I'm like, you know.
That was funny.
We had our issues. Well, it was a bumpy road. But, hey, I think I did okay after all was said and done. So that's my pat on the back to myself. So. But anyway, okay.
I'm just saying with the craziness that's going on and that kind of stuff, sometimes it can be crazy, but.
Okay, I just wondered if you picked up anything with the kids.
Well, you get the impression that you don't see any differences in the way things are going to happen. Almost like look at the situation and seeing somebody who has a vision and this is what's going to happen. And then when it happens just like that, I kind of freak out about the whole thing, but it's just the way it happens.
Okay.
Some things you just can't change with certain situations. Oh, when I was sitting and looking at the situation, I was shuffling some cards. The biggest impression I get is the idea of focusing on yourself. And when you're in the situation of, you know, I guess you would sit there and say, taking care of yourself.
Right, take care of myself.
Sometimes the idea of the stress and stuff that's going on, that kind of stuff can drive you crazy.
Taking care of myself right now is finding somebody new to get on board so I can release that source of anxiety. Because the more I sit on it, you know, I can't sit on this. So that's a source of anxiety I need to release.
Oh, I understand.
And that is, I'm interpreting that to be that is taking care of myself. Because I'll be so relaxed, and my summer's coming up, and stuff like that. So I
right.
can, like, give myself breathing. So. Okay.
Man, I tell you. No, I'm just saying, it was one card I found was kind of one of those things that I'm not sure. Well, I'm sure about it. I'm just not sure how you deal with it. When you look at the situation of getting the new love card, that can bring back some things that are freaking people out, but you know.
I got a new love card. I got new love coming into my life.
Yeah.
New love as in who?
As in somebody who's not old. But I'm just saying, with the situation, I got new love. I got the ideal. Not really sure exactly who it would be, because it keeps getting more of an emphasis on clearing out the clutter in favor of.
Oh, the clutter would be my husband?
There you go. Well, sometimes with situations, it's definitely re-examining the relationships and re-examining exactly what one does want.
Yeah, sometimes you can gather clutter in a relationship and you need to clear it out so you can move on in the relationship with the same person. I've been married over 20 years and, you know, sometimes you gather up stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely need to take a life review of that whole thing and get the clutter in favor of wanting to, you know, just like you look at the new love card, it's actually looking for a new level in the relationship.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. When I said the new love card, I was blank. I mean, it was just like nothing was coming up. But there was the ideal of the next card was talking about, you know, clutter. Clearing up spaces. Surrender and release was the one thing I got. Of letting go of the past in favor of what's going to be coming up. We sit and look at the situation. If you pull out the first card was love, new love card. The next one was clairvoyancy, to see things for what they are. And then there was surrender and release. The body care card came up too, so I was like, definitely need to let go of some stuff in favor of go with rest too. But it's always like the one card I got, the two cards that came together were very intense. Of you know what to do. Trust your inner knowledge. And act upon it without delay. And then the next card that was listening.
Okay.
Okay, and then Archangel Jeremiah, everything is happening exactly as it's supposed to. With hidden blessings, you'll soon understand.
You know what? That is so true. That's an interesting card. Things have been happening, like with this lawsuit, it's been dragging on and on and on and on. It's like, oh my God, this is going to be like, you know, this is just going on and on and on. It's almost turning into an old case. And so a lot of things have happened this last year, very major, which this new attorney needs to address. And I'm hoping that we'll address and reassess. And
mm-hmm.
And it's almost like it was a gift that this case was continued because these issues that occurred this last year are very major, and they were a result of the initial case. You know, it's like a domino, you know. It
mm-hmm.
begins with the big first, and if I had finished the case, this couldn't have been brought in. It was done. So it's almost like they kept it going just so I could bring this in or something, because this stuff was, you know, I'm thinking is major and can be reassessed with additional value. So that's an interesting card. And I hope no one who knows me is here listening to this. I'm divulging way too much.
Right. So where are you calling from?
I don't regret this, huh?
So where are you calling from? What state? The confusion?
Am I confused?
No, I'm saying it's either the chaos or the state of confusion.
Well, yeah. I just said a lot of stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm from back east. So.
Back east?
Yeah. So anyway, so that's the deal. I just wanted to see what you had and what your, you know, because I'm working on this task and I'm like, you know, you keep going, you get a whole lot of no, and I'm like, oh, is this ever going to end? Am I spinning my wheel? Because this is way advanced into the case, and to find someone to jump in when the case is in an advanced stages,
mm-hmm.
sometimes there is, it's like harder than normal.
No, I understand.
So that's why I'm wondering, am I wasting my time?
Well, the impression I get is no.
Okay.
That's also getting this very strong connection with your grandmother on your mother's side.
Yes, I've been told my grandmother on my mother's side is here with me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told that before. Interesting that you would say that. Okay.
Hands on your shoulders.
My shoulders what?
No, she's got her hands on your shoulders.
Okay.
Shows very strong support.
Okay.
It also shows that it's also an easy position to push somebody.
An easy position to push, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was interesting. This happened to me one time. I was like on my computer and I was researching and working on this project I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was on there, and I was in such a state of like, you know, it's just emotional roller coaster. I felt somebody touch me on my right side, on like my shoulder arm. I actually felt, and I was alone. Somebody touched me, but. When they touched me, I was not, like, most people would have freaked out.
Okay.
I'm all by mm-hmm. myself. Someone touches my shoulder. I mean, hello. But
yeah.
When they touched me, I felt comforted,
mm-hmm.
not afraid. And I actually took my left hand from my opposite side because they touched my right. And I went over to my shoulder like I was going to put my hand over their hand. And it was weird. I go, my brain is playing games with me. But it was and it never
mm-hmm.
happened. It was just that one time. It never, ever happened again. And after that, I said,
mm-hmm.
if you're with me, you know, touch me, that's okay. I gave him permission, and it never happened again because, you know, I would have liked that comfort. And it felt very comforting. I was not fearful or anything.
Well, that's good.
It was odd. Have you ever heard of something like that?
You know, something I have. It's like it happens to some people. They just feel like there's a presence or playing with someone's hair or some kind of thing like that, but usually when I see supportive and certain things like that with grandma, you know, I've had the same thing with my, I used to have situations where, I remember one time talking to a girlfriend on the phone, and she goes, you better go to bed because you're tired, you've been for like 2 days, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like, I'm going to stay up all night. And all of a sudden, I turned my light out. And I felt my presence with my grandmother too. And I'm like, if I got to get up and turn that light on, that means someone actually turned it off, because it was one of those big tall lamps that you
right.
got to turn. You got to click them on.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like you know a fluctuation. And so I was like, I walked over to it, and sure enough, I had to click it back on. Someone had turned it off, and I was the only person there, and I was freaking out. And then one time I was in a hurry to get to the gym. So I basically took all my clothes and dumped them out of the basket to get a pair of pants and left them just like that. When I came back, and I live by myself, and I was the only person who had the key to the door, I came back and all my clothes were folded up on the bed.
Wow.
And I was like, I could hear that little song, you know? Dee 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 dee. Title to Twilight Zone was getting big time.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I've had a couple of, you know, people around me do things like, you know, but it was just the touching of the shoulder. And so, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all righty.
It's just one of those things. I hear them all the time. I've had situations where I've had entities talk to me and say things to me. And I've had my grandmother around me a lot.
Okay.
In some of those situations of motivation and that kind of stuff. And almost like she was more supportive of what I do now than she was then. If that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a different situation.
Okay.
But well informed, I'm telling you. Because I was freaking out with a lot of things that were going on. And I didn't know what else to do about it, you know.
Right.
There's only one explanation. And you just kind of go with the whole thing. And then, when I was in Colorado, I had too many situations where I had a little voice in my head that's telling me to do certain things, and every time I would do those things, things always got better.
Okay.
I was sitting there telling my angels and guides, I'm not going to argue with more. And then in the process of them telling me to go to a hotel, I didn't have any money to go to a hotel.
Uh-huh.
They said, what are miracles? Miracles are things that defy reality. So quit thinking logically, please. I said, okay, I won't. And it's like from that point on, again, I just started listening extensively. And next thing you know, I was sitting in a hotel with the money, which was kind of funny because I did actually have 17 bucks on me, but the lady told her, I said, I got 17 bucks, but I don't have $35. I know it's $35 tonight. I know I got 2 days until I get paid. I have no other place to go. And she just kind of like, I told myself I wouldn't do this again. And see, they were every time I would sit there and listen, they were right. What I thought was so cool about the whole situation, too, was the place where I actually wanted to live. When I was, this place I wanted to live in Colorado, Manitou Springs. I remember this. It was kind of crazy because I went to, for some reason, they told me to go to this hotel. And I didn't realize the time, but when I went to a hotel, the place where I actually wanted to live,
uh-huh,
in Manitou Springs, in this apartment complex, that lady that let me have that hotel room,
right?
Her husband managed that place.
Wow.
Yeah. So next thing I know, he came down there, and I said, "Well, so she introduced me to him, right?" Because I stayed down there for a couple months in a hotel. I just thought that was cool that she let me stay there for 2 days before I got paid, and I just paid it up, and then I met him. And I was like, oh, what's he do? Oh, he's a manager at Barkhouse, which was the place I wanted to live. I'm like, are you serious?
Well, it's a small world. You never know. I have learned. I'm 60 years old, and I have learned that the world is very small. I mean, you know, it might take 10 years later, you're like, oh, you know, and you're relying on them for assistance or help, or they got a job behind the counter, you know, and they can, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
It has really, I try to say, never burn your bridges. Never, never, ever. It's just bad.
You never know. Yes. It's a famous line they used to have in Sleepless in Seattle. You never know.
Well, it's burning your bridges. You don't leave in a storm. Because people will remember that. If you leave, I don't care. You can be so happy. You want to dance out with a cocktail. You know, you bite the bullet. I miss you. I'm so, you know, I'm just going for a, you know, you just make up something.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Lie, mm-hmm, if you have to. It's like, that's a good lie.
Yeah.
Anyway, sometimes you don't need to always be truthful. So anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All righty, let me let you go. Thank you for taking the call.
Oh, no problem. Anytime. And please give us a call back and tell how things are doing. At least give us an update.
Okie dokie, I'll do that. Thanks.
You're welcome, and you have a great night, and tell all your friends about us.
Okay, you just got a couple minutes left, so, okay.
All righty.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. There we go. We're done with, you know, another call, or we, I think is one of those who are getting into the deep into the subject itself. So if you want to give a call in here, a couple answered questions that you want to give to us so we can answer those questions for you, give us a call at 646-721-9031. And we appreciate any donations to give the show. And for the people who have donated to the show, thank you very much. And we're just sitting here looking for some callers. Let's go take a look at the chat room. See how it's looking in there. And actually, I was sitting there looking at some things. And I was actually waiting for my co-host to show up. And it's been one of those things. Let's see. And plus, I was actually trying to get. I actually called Amy a couple times so she would actually come on the show and do some readings. So it's one of those situations of checking out and that kind of stuff. So everybody who's in the chat room, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We got Blissful to me, Serenity for me, Aloha Jay. Hey, how are you guys doing? If there's anybody out there who would like to call in and get a reading, please do so. Number here, 646-721-9031. We're also sitting here looking at some things about Atlantis. We've had a lot of things where the biggest thing I saw, a lot of hypnosis. I know a couple of people have actually done hypnosis. It's really good for actually going back and checking those things out as well. I thought I was going to freak out. You know? So let's see. What do we have going on here? I'm trying to get some things written down. That's cool. Thank you very much. So we need some callers to call in. Let's go back. Oh, what I was saying before is the idea of hypnosis. People use hypnosis to actually go back with past lives. And I know a lot of things have been used a lot with doing past regressions on that too as well, talking to people who have been in Atlantis and also realizing there's a lot of people around him too as well that are also from Atlantis. So it seems like that's a common thing to happen to a lot of people that go through past lives and that kind of stuff. That's usually about the people that are around them and family members and that kind of stuff are usually they've all been together through many lifetimes too as well. And usually when you have a person that comes in, that you don't recognize or you feel uncomfortable with, that kind of stuff, was usually someone you didn't have a past life with and they come into this lifetime. So it kind of can drive you crazy. But we're going to take a break here, about 3 minutes. And you guys go ahead and we're going to listen to some Bernie here, I think. I'm not sure. Take a look at, no, let's listen to some old Chicago and hope you like this one. 6-4-24, I think it's what it's called. And here we go. Chicago.
Waiting for the break of day.
Hello. We're back. This is Psychic Journey Man. Psychic X Journey Man. This is Psychic X Journey Man Talk Radio. Welcome. Tonight's Missing Spiritual Ground Table Tuesday, and this is we're talking about Atlantis. We've done a lot of readings and talking to people and that stuff. So if you want to call in here and get a reading yourself, give us a call at 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. And we're going to sit here and go over the whole thing. Kind of stress the idea of these hemi-sync CDs, and I've introduced these to a couple of my friends, and that kind of stuff. And they all seem to be really enjoying these CDs, where it just gives them a sense of peace of mind, and they just love it. And if you want to check out these CDs yourself, go to www.hemi-sync.com or call them at 1-800-541-2488. Or call them at 263-8692. And also, you can fax your information if you like to get some information, which is 434-263-8699. So, also, there's another company called BrainSync, which is subliminal CDs, which I do have a bunch of these CDs in my own place, and I use them all the time. These things are great. And you check out the website, you'll see what I'm talking about. And usually they have a little sample and that kind of stuff going on. It's really a cool thing, so check them out. The company's called it's BrainSync. It's www.brainsync.com. Also, you can contact them, too, by phone, which is 1-800-444-7962. 1-800-444-SYNC, S-Y-N-C. Again, that number is 1-800-444-7962, or call them straight through at 541-488-7870. Okay. So they're checking out some information when it comes to Atlantis. It's kind of a crazy situation. Talking about hypnosis is a great tool to actually find places in back past lives. We've actually had cases where people, like little girls, 8 years old, had a case of claustrophobia, couldn't stand to be confined spaces. And with the situation of confined spaces, couldn't figure out why she had such a hard time with I guess you would call that claustrophobia. Anyway, with the situation and everything falling apart, they did a past life regression with her, hypnosis, and took her back to the 1800s, and she was buried alive in a coffin. So it was a phobia, a thing that she brought with her. So as soon as she figured it out, did the past life too, everything changed for her. To the point where it was so funny that after she went through this and realized where it came from, she didn't have any more problems. Okay? Kind of a shiver in itself, isn't it? So we're just saying with the situation, when you have those kind of things going on, it can be interesting in itself of what else can you find out through hypnosis. They're talking about Atlantis has been found, and we've been hearing that for years, have we not? And has Atlantis been found? Is it one of those situations where you just get really irritated with all the comments and that kind of stuff? This scientist said, I found Atlantis. This scientist said, he found Atlantis. Doesn't anybody really want to find Atlantis for finding Atlantis, or is it just some kind of ego trip? In the situation of ego trips, it really gets irritating because the ideal of these egos are getting in the way of actually finding bits and pieces, which is why we call the show the Missing Spiritual Link. You know, the ideal, I'll say that we all have come from Atlantis, and it's supposed to be this really spiritual place and all the things that go on, because we've talked to Edgar Casey, had a medicine man from Atlantis who worked with him, and with great cures of helping people and that kind of stuff. And we felt like that was the most important thing about everything that you put together, of having those kind of techniques to help people. And mostly these Atlantean cures have to do with all natural herbs, or massages, healing techniques, energy, crystals, and, you know, which is that we're all coming back into those things right now. And actually, I've got to find a book on this here. So what we're going to do is we're going to take another 2 minutes so I can actually pull this information out. So we'll be right back in we'll say 5 minutes. It might not be that long. But we will be right back. So therefore, let's listen to some Foreigner. This is actually last year, 2010, I think it was. This is a new Foreigner. So check it out.
When nothing goes my way, and late nights turn to days, I spend my life in and out of trouble. Begun.
our birth. Where the dust of all our horses hides the sun, we are mighty on the earth, on the earth. You have come to move me, take me from my ancient home, land of my fathers, I can't leave you now. We will share it with you, no man or sister, we're on. Now the wheels are rolling, hear the howling winds of war. It's my destiny to fight and die. But is there no solution? Can we find no other way? Lord, let me stay. I know the endless sky and the earth below, till I was born to live, and I will never go.
Stay.
Well, we're back, guys. How you doing tonight? This is Psychic Journeyman here at Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome. And we're like a show tonight. We're doing things. So give us a call here at 646-721-0031. There's a give a chat in the chat thinking, our angels isn't here. You know, I'm trying to figure out exactly what is going on with people out there, man. We should all be popping back in here and just sitting there going over some topics here and that kind of stuff. I'm trying to figure out where everybody's at. Good night. Good night. What? Come on. Let's get real here, people. Let's take a look at the situation and do some reading, huh? Well, interesting in itself, isn't it? Look at the chart ourselves. We've got information here. I was pulling up about Atlantis kind of stuff. Really incredible stuff here, I'm telling you. But it's kind of funny how people put this stuff. You know, this is the power of Obama's head research. This guy's name is Richard. I want to say Fridwin told people that he was here. Look at the situation. They went down there. This guy here is a unit. He's, if I'm not mistaken, he is. What is he? Doesn't really specify, but he's a professor at the University of Hartford, Connecticut, okay, who led an international team searching for the true site of Atlantis. See what I'm saying? The true site. I mean, this egotisticness always puts in there. Like, we know exactly where Atlantis is. Why do they have to emphasize so much on it? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Emphasize this and that and the other. It's like we're trying to convince everybody that we found Atlantis. And I think what we should get the information and the facts and the artifacts and that kind of stuff. Tell the story, just like it's supposed to in that kind of situation. Because, you know, if it is what it is, it will definitely reflect that way, and you'll definitely see what's going on with that situation. Huh? So that's an interesting thing itself. And they're talking about it's hard. They're talking about it's kind of hard to understand that a wave could come from the ocean that huge to actually wipe out 6 miles inland. But, you know, with the situation, I think we should look at these things differently, too. And I think some of the world, you know, it's like everybody takes a story, tries to take the thing and put it and maneuver it, tweak it until it fits into their scenario, their time frame, to prove that they're right. And you see how it kind of points back to the person who's thinking they know what they're doing. And they're talking about the team used a satellite photo of a subjected submerged city to find the site just north of Cadiz, Spain. They're buried in the vast marshlands of the Doña Ana Park. They believe that they pinpointed the ancient multi-ring dominion known as Atlantis. The team of archaeologists and geologists in 2009-2010 used a combination of deep ground radar, digital mapping, and underwater technology to survey the site. They discovered in central Spain a strange series of memorial cities buried in Atlantis image by its refugees after the city's likely destruction by Suami gave researchers added proof and confidence. Atlantis residents, who did not perish, fled the island and built new cities there, he added. Which we know for a fact in situations that there are cities built over top of these and that kind of thing. So, you know, when you look at those situations, when we look at Atlantis and go through three rings of three falls, I'm pretty sure we had a lot of things that were built over top of those things. But there's so many things to look at the situation of looking at these things. You know, Atlantis residents, with the situation, we should know about these things, you know? Greek philosopher Plato wrote about Atlantis some 2,600 years ago, describing it as an island situated in front of the straits, which are by you called the Pillars of Hercules. I think we're right at the mouth of Spain and Europe. And then we have have been documented for centuries. One of the largest was a reported 10-story tidal wave to slam Levian in November 1755. So we got those things. Then we got proof and this and that and the other, but it really proved, you know. Situations of this, that, and the other, not really giving us anything concrete or what we should be looking for in the situation of Atlanteans. Maybe the reason is maybe we should take a step back and ask ourselves if Atlantis is, well, Atlantis called Atlantis. I mean, there's a lot of things in all these cultures around the planet of Atlanteans. I think this thing was coined with Edgar Cayce of Atlantean. What was a witch doctor? That might not be the true thing, you know what I'm saying? They were talking about Donana National Parks. Scientists believe the lost city of Atlantis is buried in the mud flats of Spain's national park. All the news about the desolated, oh yeah, the zombie, and drawing greater attention to a newer claim that researchers have found the lost city of Atlantis buried in the mud on the southern tip of Spain. Scientists say they have found proof of a 4,000-year-old civilization that was buried by a tsunami, wiping it out. The effort to find Atlantis began in 2004 when German physicist Rainer Kunde identified some strange features on the satellite photos. Swamps at the mouth of Spain's let's see, we're taking a look at the river northwest of Cadiz. Held strange geometric shadows that some thought resembled the remains of a ringed city. To follow up the findings, teams of researchers from three countries used ground-penetrating radar, electrical resistivity, I think it's a tomograph, magnetometer, and a spectrometer to map the ground and sniff out evidence of human-built objects built in the mud. They say they found a communal oven and evidence of a canal systems buried in Spain's Donana National Park. So we got that. So there's another one coming out too as well. First, we have some guy who found Atlantis, Iceland. And we had the big stories about Atlantis being down at the tip of Florida in the Gulf of Mexico, in that area, which is called the Bermuda Triangle, or some people call it Devil's Triangle. Then, on top of that, we had this one guy came out and said he thought it was Axon near China. We've also had reports of people wanting to go and said they found Atlantis near Australia. So that's what? Iceland, that's one. Down at the bottom of Florida, that's two. We got China, that's three. Australia, that's four. Japan, that's five. And now they're talking about Spain. At the tip of Spain now, we're talking six. There's also been evidence of Atlantean technology of working with the Egyptians. So that could be classified as the seventh place. Pyramids across the country, across the world. that gives us a thing about that whole situation. We've talked about pyramids before. Why pyramids? When it makes perfect sense, we have pyramid schemes where we have one person that filters down to a bunch of others. So if you look at Egyptians, kind of sets the tone there, doesn't it? You have the pharaoh who's at the top, and then it filters down to the rest of us. But in the process of looking at these things, we also have other things to look at too well. Oh, yeah, that's right. We also found, someone said they found some things in the water, in the ocean, where they, it was like at, on Africa. So now we have those to look at as well. So that's interesting. Then we go back to the whole swampland thing. Not that that was actually discovered by the Google map. I understand they found Atlantis too. Everybody's claiming to find Atlantis. I think sometimes we should all pull together and realize that maybe what we're finding here is evidence of how much Atlantis influenced the world and how many places you can find evidence of Atlantis. That's my biggest thing, is looking at things like that. People have also linked Atlantis to the Garden of Eden. That's interesting in and of myself. So, what do you think out there yourself? Why don't you give us a call in here and give us your comments on Atlantis? I think Atlantis was a very great culture. I really don't think the idea of being warlike, like some of the movies portrayed, and attacking Athens and all that kind of stuff, but just, you know, we're still looking at as a very peaceful civilization, but huge, man. I'm talking about huge. And they're probably the ones behind the technology, the magic carpet ride, the carpet, you know, magic flying carpets, the genie. Could be just the idea of manifestation and the strong sword and that kind of stuff. So, as you look at that situation, it can make you think, and you put it all together, there's a lot more to this whole situation than we like to admit. And, I mean, I feel like sometimes when I look at the situations that there's more to it. But then they have a tendency to make it small, fit in their little category, so therefore they took over the dole frame thing, you know? Not really sure about that. And then we saw some on the History Channel. That was pretty cool, I thought. Because they were talking about aliens and that kind of stuff, and saying maybe Atlantis was spawned as an outpost of an alien technology, when it could actually be the idea of stealthily intelligence. But we had great civilization and great technology and great strides in our advancements, and then thrown back to where we had to all start all over again. It happens, you know. And what are we going to do about it, right? Try to find some stuff here, I swear. It's going to drive you a freaking loony. And then they were talking about the Sphinx and the Great Pyramid and how you could probably take them all together. They were saying that underneath the Sphinx, I think on either, I can't remember, it was on the right or left paw, that they actually found a space by using radar, penetrating radar, to look into the whole thing. And they were just waiting for the Egyptian government to actually go in there and see what it's all about. And they actually have on certain parts of the Sphinx and part of the back, where they're talking about these chambers, and trying to figure out, okay, well, you know, these chambers seem to go nowhere. And what they're saying is that the chambers have actually been kind of sealed off on one side, but they were actually leading to a great library. But then the Egyptian officials come into the situation and say, no, it's not what it is. It's actually they're just tunnels underneath the Sphinx for no reason at all. It's kind of funny. We go in there, we find the ideal of a nice library full of crystals, disc, crystal disc with all kinds of information on there from the antiques. And then with a situation like that, it could be definitely different. It's kind of amazing, you know, all that stuff gets picked up. Yeah. This is the Atlantis found in 1999, a novel by Clive Cussler. Part of the Dirt Pit series, the ship is found, but Pit narrowly escaped disaster from an attack by, tune in tomorrow, let's see, actually I have two accounts, and there's a lot of people looking at, you know, trying to trace all this stuff down. It's enough to drive you up the freaking walls, I tell you. Let's see, in 7,071-20 B.C., a comet slams into North America, creating Hudson Bay, abruptly ending the last ice age and causing global geographical and environmental upheavals. In 1858 AD, a whaling vessel discovers a 1770s merchant ship frozen in the Antarctic ice. As with most of the novels in this series, these oddly juxtaposed opening scenes become the key element to the plot as it develops. The U.S. National Underwater and Marine Agency Special Projects Director, Dirt Pitt, who happens to be nearby, arrives at the site just in time to stop a group of Tomb Raiders working for the Fourth Empire from destroying the chamber and stealing its curious artifacts. Okay, did I miss something? He also took photos of the mysterious inscriptions covering the surface of the room. Hold up. Let's see. He also managed to save the lives of numerous people in danger of drowning in the chamber, which had been flooded with water. One of the artifacts in question is an extinguishingly carved skull of polished Sidon sea crystal skull. It seems unique, but curiously, another exists in the private collection of a descendant of a whale sea captain from the opening scenes of the novel. This is getting crazy. So you see that we have a tendency to take some stories that will freak you out. It says two skulls are handed over to this society, and not they are Atlantean in any origin, but that makes you wonder about certain things that do come to pass. It says, meanwhile, Pitt is aboard the icebreaker in the Antarctic, searching for this 1770s merchant ship. The ship fell, but Pitt narrowly escapes disaster from an attack by a German boat that has been missing since 1945. Well, that's kind of confusing in itself, isn't it? And we'd like to get some callers here. We have 29 minutes left, Joe, and we'd like to do some more readings. So give us a call here at 646-721-9031. And if you'd like to get a private reading, get a call at 740-601-9835. Or 740-601-1057, or contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yosite.com, and you'll see it all taken out, that kind of thing. It's crazy. But we'd be glad to share it with you, so give us a call in here, and be happy and more happy for you to call us, too. And if you also want to donate to the show and donate to my Colorado Fund to help me get home and help support the show, give us a call at 740-601-1057 or like I said before, contact us through our website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yuletide.com. And like I said before, it's 10:32 p.m. Eastern. It's May 3rd, 2011. It's amazing that the year is kicking by so quickly. We're already in May, going into the summer months. So I'm actually looking forward to some warm weather. I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of this cold and this rain kind of stuff. So trying to put this all together and check it out. But the information, it's amazing that people look at some books that have been written about Atlantis. It was the same thing with the Titanic. There was actually some books that were written, I think, about 50 years before the Titanic was actually even built, about a guy called Titanian, I think it was called. Talking about a ship too long. That would fit the description of the Titanic. So you're just kind of wondering, when you read this book, was the person who actually saw the future and these visions and put it in a book, was fiction then, turned out to be nonfiction later on in life? Around the, you know. So that makes you wonder. I was just thinking about that myself. I wonder what they're talking about. Also, inner Earth civilizations, where we always notice Atlantis has usually been depicted as something that's under the ground or under the ocean, and seeing something more on the level of watching a civilization underneath the ocean, spread by a force field, but also having caverns within the ground itself. That could be different and interesting in itself, because it definitely looks things differently. Because when you put those kind of caverns and stuff underneath the ocean, you don't have just an idea of. There's a lot of pressure there on the ground and from the water and everything else pushing down on top of it. I mean, it's one thing to have a civilization underneath the ocean by a force field, because actually the water can actually work with the force field itself to actually have a stronger protection over the city itself. But when you start building caverns underneath that particular city, the ideal of the water and the pressure you could put down on those caverns themselves would put you in a different frame of mind. Would you even want to do that? It seems like some people talk about the civilization on top of a civilization, but they're always talking about underground stuff. So it kind of makes you wonder about the situation, what you really want to do there. But we were sitting here going over this whole thing. What do you think? What is the truth? What is really out there? Do you ever listen to some of the stories yourself and ask yourself, how real is it? Let's see. Finding all stuff. It's like looking at situations and everything that goes along with it. You could drag the walls if you let it. Trying to find some pieces in here where they're talking about certain, like, serpents and protectors and that kind of stuff. It's a book, and it seems like there's a lot of stuff about this whole book, too. From the dust jacket of over the course of 14 books, Clive Cluster's hero, Dirk Pitt, has battled warlords and criminals, survived eruptions, volcanoes, and detonations, but never has he engaged in an adventure as dramatic in a location as exotic as Atlantis found. So basically what we got here is a book. And then we have, I think we also got, let me see here. So we're almost like the fall. I was sitting looking at some things and exhausted myself. Where do we go from here, huh? Let's see if we can find some other things out here. I'm getting some kind of things. It's a 7-book. Let's see. There's a lot of books in that situation. I guess we're sitting and say one person's count. Let's get rid of this cluster, dude. And just look at some things, because I'm really tired of Spain right now. I was talking about Atlantis found Spain, boing, boing, and this game's going back and forth, too, with this professor. And then there was another one, we're talking about China, where Atlantis is found. They found a civilization on there, too, and I think it's just one of those things where we're finding civilizations everywhere. And people, you know, they get to really know more about the situations. And then they're going to come up with a lot of different ways of looking at this situation. I mean, the one guy found Troy, actually found two cities before he actually found the Troy that we know so much about and that kind of stuff. And the idea of finding evidence, they found evidence that Atlantis could be found around Spain and Ireland. Atlantis evidence found in Spain and Ireland. This is in 2004. An empire filled riches. It was an awe-inspiring civilization west of the Straits of Gibraltar. Yeah, what happened there? Well, that was interesting. Let's look at this situation here. So wrote the Greek philosopher Plato in 360 BC about the island of, he called Atlantis. The story is one of the most mysterious and enduring tales in history. And the reason is, it sounds like really intriguing, but I also feel like a lot of people want to find the place. Just feel the idea of, like, everybody's trying to find their roots, trying to get back to the beginning. Well, I mean, there's also people out there looking for the Garden of Eden, and they think they found it at the end of the water was a hot lot. Like, looking at the idea that it could also be underwater because of water levels used to be lower back then, and now they're higher. And it's according to this Rainer, a physicist, satellite photos of southern Spain suggest that the island of Atlantis was in fact a region of southern Spain coast that was destroyed by a flood between 800 BC and 500 BC. These satellite photos show rectangular structures and concrete circles that match very well with Plato's description. Palaces and the city of Atlantis said that. Let's see. These satellite photos show these structures and that kind of stuff. I still kind of wonder about the structures. You know, people finding anything like that. That's what I was always suggesting. Just like Atlantis, Ireland is 300 miles. That's 480 kilometers long. That's 200 miles. That's 320 kilometers wide. And features a central plain that is open to the sea. It says, and so a lot of authors, a lot of people think Atlantis, from that perspective, could be just one of the same. So see how many theories there is when it pertains to Atlantis and how you put things in there. And then the wrath of God, Plato derived his story from the Egyptians to describe Atlantis as having a main city with a royal palace made of ivory, gold, and silver. The city featured bridges, canals, ships, temples, and even a horse racing track. And that was interesting in itself, because some of these things, when you sit over some of these facts, things that were supposed to be going on, especially when you hear about Plato and his version, which he got from the Egyptians, of racetracks, it's kind of weird in itself. So basically now they're claiming that, with new evidence, claims that Atlantis was based on a real place, or places. I go with places myself. We look at the situation and how things are going out, that kind of stuff. It's really cool. I think so, anyway. I mean, what are we going to find out here in the next couple years? Is more stuff going to come to the light? Are we going to find something really concrete? Not what someone believes. Just like Atlantis, Ireland could be just that. We look at the geographical data of the whole world. Of the 50 largest islands, Ireland is the only one that matches Plato's description of the landscape, he added. We're constantly adding a lot of things to the plate and the certain things that are going on. So it makes you wonder just exactly what is going on. What is happening here? I mean, we must be really getting close to finding something that's really going to be one of those things that puts Atlantis back on the map again. So therefore, we can all sit here and have a lot of more faith in its existence than we ever had before in the past. I still think it's interesting if we can sit here and look at the theories that Atlantis still does exist. Because we know in certain movies that we watch that they find Atlantis, they go down, they check it out, and then they find out, you know, beyond their belief that there's actually people still alive. They lived long and prosperous lives. And supposedly the crystal didn't just sustain and give them an unlimited power source, but it's like that power source also has something to do with their longevity of living as long as they did. So that's kind of interesting in itself. Would you like to live? So we're all having a great time here. I'm loving it. So let's sort of take a look at the clipboard. We've got 15 minutes left in the show, so if anybody wants to call and get a quick reading, please do so. The number here is 646-721-9031. 14 minutes left in the show. And we'd love to hear from every one of you guys. Come on in. Come on. Give us a call. Looking forward to having some really good input, someone else's opinions about what's going on here. We're really having some fun, because I like some of this evidence that comes to light. Is 2004, we have some stuff from 1997. We're looking at situations of photos and pictures and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, National Geographic, you know, whatever. So now they're centered thinking that maybe Ireland is Atlantis. They're also talking about a great landmass in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. We've had people talk about Atlantis the island and Atlantis the city. We could also have Atlantis the city and Atlantis the island. Some people don't call that landmass anything else but what it was. And that could be interesting in itself. So, you know, what are we looking at here? So let's take a look at the situation. Let's take a look at us on stream and take a look at some stuff there. Let's see what we got. Okay. I thought we had a chat room with this one, but I guess I could have been wrong. We're bringing a lot of good stuff here, but we're ready to take it off, and we're going to cut that. amazing. We got music that popped in and kicked us in the head. We have some technical difficulties with things popping in from time to time and scaring the heck out of everybody. That was interesting in itself, wouldn't you say? So, I think there's some really good, interesting theories out there about Atlantis in itself. Maybe we should take it one step further and see how far advanced they were. If you could really come up with the idea of a great power source, the reason you probably would advance very quickly is because you would be able to advance with things that wouldn't limit you. And what we mean by that is, like light bulbs and things like that. Light bulbs burn out because of the technology you're working with that. But see, if you came up with a power source where you could have unlimited lighting, then you would have something different. If you had something with crystals, it could actually transfer energy without being burned up, then you could increase the output. So say the idea of inventing space travel, but not in the sense of, I mean, it's like, look at the situation when we're looking at Stargate and those kind of things, of having that kind of technology to go from one point to the other without having to have any kind of spacecraft to get there. So you go back to the situation of talking about does the government have a Stargate program where they're actually going to different star clusters, different celestial places in the universe? It could be one of those things that could be debated. Some of the pictures I've actually seen that they said they took pictures with the Hubble kind of make you wonder, because it's really intense and very detailed. Not saying that the technology of the Hubble is not one of those things where, you know, the capability of what they're trying to say couldn't happen. But to me, it just seemed like somebody's gone there and taken pictures of themselves and then come back, the whole thing's done. The idea of the technology in itself, I mean, is this imagination, or is this actually from something that is real, but they've made it look more like science fiction, so therefore you wouldn't think about the possibility of somebody actually having this technology right now. The idea of looking at Atlantis as a abandoned city with just foundations and that kind of stuff kind of takes your mind off the situation of Atlantis could be existing right now, where people are still alive and still Atlantean still exists. So that makes you wonder. Like anything else would make you wonder with the situation and that kind of stuff. So you just let it go and let it open up and take its thing around and around and around and around. And it could, you know, with all the theories out there, it could make your head spin. But don't let it make your head just spin. It's like I always look at the situation of some of the visions and stuff I picked up on and some of the things in some places I've gone. Makes me wonder too, to the point where my curiosity opens me more up to what I'm feeling and what I'm sensing with the situation, what's true and what's not true. And when I look at all these places that they think they found Atlantis, I think they have found Atlantis. I just don't think it's one place. I think there was a city of Atlantis, but I also feel like there was many outposts and many other cities that also existed with it too, because we call this the United States, but there's many cities within the United States as a country. So we could look at Atlantis the same way as being a huge country with cities and towns and that kind of stuff within the same thing. So you could still find foundations of this thing. It's like looking at our government and say that someone blew up the White House. You would still have, and maybe you couldn't find evidence of a foundation, or maybe you couldn't find any evidence that Washington, D.C. existed at all. But still, we'd have all these other cities out throughout the United States that would still say that the United States does exist. It's just the capital doesn't exist anymore. But it seems like these people with Atlantis and stuff, since they can't find the city of Atlantis, the other possibilities of these other theories might not pan out, because they're sitting there going, okay, it has to be one or the other. And we know for a fact with a lot of things with technology and archaeology and that kind of stuff that there's that black and white, there's no such thing as black and white. There's a lot of things in the gray area. We have a lot of things about interpretation and that kind of stuff. So, makes you think. One Whole Self. How are you doing tonight? We have Serenity for me still in the room. It's really kind of crazy and sad. Where's everybody at? You guys go to those other crazy shows that do the same stuff every day? Let's see here. And when we sort of look at the situation of other civilizations, like we said before in Star Trek, as soon as we figure out, it's like in Star Trek, as soon as we create a warp capability, we have other alien races that show up to check us out, see what's up. We have in The Day the World Stood Still, we have an alien race that comes here to check up on us because we're about ready to come up with technology to where we're going to start traveling the stars. And they didn't want us to influence and take our warlike intentions out into the universe. That makes you wonder, don't it? So you see, when you start to look at those kind of things, the wrath of gods, you know, it says that Egyptians and people and that the Atlanteans had all this stuff, you know, like here, right here. Talks about the royal palace made of ivory, gold, and silver. The city featured bridges, canals, ships, temples, and even a horse race track. Now, all the cities we found out there, I don't really remember. Now, we might have to go back over that. Minoans, I think it is. They might have had something similar to that. Don't quote me on that. But it just makes you wonder, don't it? As we sit here and we go over this stuff, you know, it's kind of, you have to weed out everything to figure out what is true and what is not. And that can drive you crazy. And that, I mean, the ideal saying that maybe Ireland, the island itself, it wasn't, I guess what we're saying here is the ideal Atlantis didn't get completely wiped out. It was more of water. Even though he says it was volcanoes and earthquakes and just everything hitting this place at one time, where you get the situation of Atlanteans being able to control a lot of things, and then the process of controlling the oceans, the fish, the volcanoes, the continental divide. The continents moving apart and that kind of stuff. Is it possible to have that kind of technology and that kind of capability of actually having control of those things? And then when the balance of your society is thrown off, you no longer can control those, so therefore they basically worked against you to destroy you. It's one of those things of looking at it. Scientists, we found Atlantis maybe technically incorrect because the ideal is that they presented their findings on the National Geographic. On the Atlantis was found, and the Pegasus galaxy a few years ago by Stargate travelers. Now you see, we got all kinds of stuff kicking in here too, where basically it's a TV show. Finding Atlantis. It can drive you nuts. It says researchers spent 2 years using a variety of technological tools, deep ground radar, and digital mapping, for example, to locate Nirvana. This is one guy is talking about, it's almost like reading a book. It is reading a book where it's like technically incorrect. But one thing we have to do when we start looking for this technology and stuff is to realize that NASA names winner in shuttle display contacts. Did you like that one? See, we got a lot of things here popping up in one thing where you're trying to figure out, this is it. No, really? I know you might have been temporarily fooled 2 years ago when it seemed as if the lost city of Atlantis had turned up on Google Earth, which is the map and that kind of stuff. According to these other people here, the channel will reveal the work of Richard. I think it's Fruden, a professor at the University of Hartford, Connecticut, and his international team of Atlantis seekers. You will be wondering where Atlantis truly is. Throughout history, there have been speculations that it was somehow near southern Spain. The Google Earth rumors placed it 600 miles west of the Canary Islands off the west coast of Africa, which is pretty close to Spain. But like we said before, to me, it's like, well, I got to do some more research on the whole thing where you just want to find a bunch more stuff, you know? We got 2 minutes left in the show. And I want to thank everybody for being here and listening as we go through the whole thing. And I was really looking for people to come on the show and give me their opinions about Atlantis and maybe they've had dreams and encounters and that kind of stuff. And to go over our when we sit here and we're talking about Khufu, who built the Great Pyramid, and finding out that some of the dates and some of the timing and that kind of stuff are off, but the actual events actually happened of Khufu actually building the Great Pyramid with his telepathic abilities and actually end up having an aneurysm, a busted blood vessel in his head and killing him. Great, huh? So, you know, one of those things of theories are coming over there. So if you want to explore that even more, tune in next week, Tuesday, when we go back to Missing Spiritual Link Tuesday, Atlantis, and talk more about Atlantis. We're going to bring some more stories to you, too. And also join us tomorrow, Wednesday, Free Angel Reading Roundtable, Past Life Wednesday, when we talk about past lives. We'll probably be talking about Atlantis even more, too, when we have the idea of past lives and that kind of stuff. So join us tomorrow at 8. And also tomorrow night we'll be here back again on Psychic X Journeyman 2. We'll be doing our midnight show called Free Angel Reading Roundtable Midnight, where we have people coming. It's open mic night, so everybody gets to talk. We had 10 people talking last week. We had a lot of people coming in, so join us. Great show. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll take you out here with a little bit of Crystal Ball by Styx.
I used to like to walk the straight and narrow line. I used to think that everything was fine. Sometimes I'd sit and gaze for days through ceaseless dreams, all alone and trapped in time, all alone and trapped in time. I wonder what tomorrow has in mind for me, or am I even in its mind at all?
Yes, everybody. See you tomorrow. May God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. Give love where love is given. Thank you. See you tomorrow.
Soon as I find myself a crystal ball. Well, tell me where I'm going. I don't know where I've been. Tell me. My heart is breaking, my body's aching, and I don't know where to go. So tell me, won't you tell me?
Yeah.